This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3066 for Monday, the 4th of May 2020. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for April 2020 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 42 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is: Dave talks about shows released and comments posted in April 2020.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, everybody. This is Dave Morris for Hacker Public Radio. Now, I'm doing the community news show for April 2020. I was going to be with Ken, and we were going to do it at 3 in the afternoon, local time, my local time. But Ken doesn't seem to be around, so not quite sure. Hopefully nobody's ill or some other problem. I've not heard from him at all, so I'm going to try and do this show myself and hope that the end result will be appropriate to put up on in Monday's slot, which is sitting in there waiting for a show. That's the way we normally do it. We do it the weekend and then we upload for Monday. So I have to say that things to do with recording audio and me have not gone too well recently, and I just fell down a hole I've never fallen down before. I recorded an entire hour's worth of episode and went to look at the Mumble. I used Mumble to do it, just wondering if Ken was going to join me along the way. Went to look at the end result, and it was completely empty. A nice hour of silence. I have no idea what happened there. Not a clue. See how we get on with number two. Ken's had this. Ken's done this as well, I know. This type of thing. And it wasn't that I wasn't pressing push to talk. I know I was. I could see my lips light up and everything. Now I'm doing this just using my recorder on an arm over my desk, and I've got my two monitor set up. So hopefully it's going to work this time. Got a cat here as well. I don't know if you can hear her purring. So we're looking at community news for April 2020. Show number 3066 is the one that you're going to be listening to. And we've had one new host in the past month, and it's Dan Nixon. We're going to look at the show that he sent in very soon. So let's start by going through the shows. This is what this episode is all about. We review all of the shows that we've had in the past month. And the first one, starting with episode 3043, was from Archer 72, short and to the point episode entitled How I Record for HPR. He's talking here about the tools, hardware wise and software, that he uses and his methods for preparing episodes for HPR. There was one comment to this. Came from the Love Bug. He said, bass and treble. Thanks for this episode. I love hearing how people record shows. I might have to do one of these myself. I'm curious as to why you attenuate the bass and treble by 6 decibels. The final episode has a telephony feel to it. Would it be possible to get hold of the original file before it's processed? Not sure whether Archer 72 has seen this or whether there's been a transfer of files or whatever. Dave, of course, is a perfectionist when it comes to audio processing, so I'm sure he could give some really good advice. Next, we have an episode from Mr. X, which is entitled Mock P Snooze Tip. And he uses Mock P to play his, I was going to say music, but I think podcasts and audiobooks. But music is for all I know. He likes to be able to run this setup in such a way that it will play for a certain time and then will stop automatically. And he was describing how he does that. And of course, Mr. X has got a pair of radio headphones on, so he's broadcasting to it from some fancy hardware he has. Very interesting setup he has. Next, we have a hooker talking about OSS compliance with privacy by default and design. He's talking here about the European Data Protection GDPR thing, General Data Protection Regulation, and how companies need to be in compliance, but what the effects are on the Fediverse. When it was originally written with big companies in mind, no real thought about privately run or open source Fediverse style things. Very interesting. Great notes, as always, on his personal site. Then we had the community news, which I was having audio problems with. My notes to myself here, my microphone setup was all wrong and I sounded as though I was about a million miles away. But anyway, there was a comment to that episode. You can hear me scrolling there probably. Clacke said, first class ranting. Thank you, Ken, for a forceful and enlightened rant on the archiving mentality, the evergreen value of much knowledge and the need for self-contained show material. I agree with not only the general sentiment, but probably with every word said. I'm glad you don't believe in editing things down, he says. So, we always ask him for comments, and there we go. Next, Taj Sara offers us the result of his setup, which is he's using Mumble and inviting people to come and join him with a joint discussion along similar lines to the New Year show style thing, where the subject is, well, I guess general chat, but around the subject of COVID-19. It's called the COVID-19 Work From Home Stream, and this is day one. And on the show were Honky Magoo, CRVS, Lyle, 6-1-1-0-1 of years ago, and Tatch himself, and it was really interesting. I do enjoy this sort of thing. 40 minutes wasn't long enough for me. Could have done with some more. I'd like to hear about how Lyle got on making bread as well. Hear more about the bread making. Very good. Very cool show. Next we had Clartu talking about alternatives to toilet paper under the health and healthcare banner. He's saying that toilet paper is unavailable in many cases, and there's a comment coming shortly as to why that might be, but there's also been a lot of bulk buying with the idea of selling it to a premium, I think, as with other things. But anyway, he's talking about alternatives to toilet paper. So it's not a joke, he says, and it contains no offensive language. So he got 3 comments to this. The first one was from McNallow, who says the affected episode was a play on the sort of slight joke on the fact that Clatty was saying the affected area, I think, a lot. Anyway, he says Toilet paper really is an odd invention. I believe there was a time when it was first marketed that the public thought it vaguely disgusting and, as you suggest, an unnecessary luxury. One plausible explanation for the surge in toilet paper purchase is that in countries experiencing some form of lockdown, more people work at home, hence the demand from toilet paper moves from the office wholesalers to retail shops, and the supply chain takes time to adapt. In the meantime, shelves will be empty. Certainly heard that comment made elsewhere. I dare say it's true, although the speculative hoarding stuff has definitely been going on as well. Nalo says there's a ruined Roman bathhouse near me, situated on the Antonine Wall, Scotland. It has a latrine, and evidence suggests that they use moss to clean Regio Effectus. Nice. Bookworm says, a word of caution, I'm not a healthcare worker, nor do I play one on TV. However, I've worked in healthcare IT for 10 years. The word of caution I would inject is in regards to the option of using a bare hand to clean the affected area. I would say this is a last resort substitute due to the potential health risks associated with it. Hepatitis A is spread through fecal matter in food. If one is not supremely careful, i.e. wash thoroughly, more than a minute, then sanitize. You could spread hepatitis A to yourself and your loved ones very easily. Fortunately, hepatitis A is not fatal, mostly just uncomfortable, with mild fever that passes and diarrhea for up to 30 days or so. Wow, that's pretty uncomfortable. Tutato says, speaking of Romans also used tersorium or xylospongium, which is a sea sponge tied on a stick. Those are in communal use and just rinsed in a bucket of water and vinegar in between uses. Also, a big portion of humanity uses hands, or rather a hand and water, to clean themselves, and actually consider using toilet paper disgusting as it can't clean as well as water can. Different cultures and all that. Oh yeah, good comments. I can say, having spent a bit of time in the Far East, that a lot of the toilets there are merely holding the wall and a hose pipe with a you can use to spray water, or even a dip thing with a reservoir of water for cleaning. And in fact, the Western style toilets are seen as disgusting in many parts of that area. I didn't take too kindly to it, but that's probably me being old and fussy and stuff. But there's also the thing about you never pass anybody an item, particularly food, but any item, using your left hand, because people use their left hands to wipe themselves. So it's seen as a disgusting thing, I guess. It's obviously a mistake I made and then got severely told off for doing so. Clartu tells us what computers taught him about reality in a show called What Computers Taught Me About Reality. And he's sort of having a bit of a philosophical talk about computers and reality there, which I'm not entirely clear about, to be honest. I was never very good at understanding philosophical musings. However, all power to him. Next was Linux In-Laws, Season 1, Episode 4, What's in a Name is the title, and they're talking about Linux In-Laws, which I'm just trying to read the notes here. It's mainly sort of boilerplate stuff. They talk about the legacy, its name, and introduce tech support from the dark side, a new hotline helping politicians and other users in need of computer support to cope with reality. So Martin and Chris are talking about Linux Outlaws and their legacy, I guess. So that was good. Their tech support from the dark side was an interesting idea. The Hooker makes comment, great sketch, he says. I love the sketch at the end. It was very funny and very creative. So there you go. Next was Taj doing day 2 of his COVID-19 work from home stream, and he had Honky Magoo on there with him, and they had a pretty good chat about all manner of things, politics and healthcare. I could have done with a longer episode, I really could. Honky, I think, was taking a break from work, and his phone connection is pretty awful, so I think he was struggling a bit. Still, it was really good to hear what was going on. There's a comment on this one. So from Brian in Ohio. He comments, Electoral College. It's hard to believe a guy from Indiana would advocate for the elimination of the Electoral College. You definitely would not need to vote if you live in Indiana if there was no Electoral College. The US is not a democracy. It's a republic. Big difference. Primaries and caucus system is a political party system and should not be confused with how presidents are elected. One last thing, health insurance is not health care. When you say universal health care, you're really saying universal health insurance. You still have to fight an insurance company with universal health care. Send lawyers, guns and money. The SH blank blank has hit the fan. Good show, entertaining. Next was Ken's show on in the series Networking, where he's talking about locating computers on a network. And he talks a lot about how you would find something like a Raspberry Pi that you've just connected to your network for the first time, and it's started up and been given an address by your router, DHCP. How would you know what that address is? There are various ways that you could achieve it, other than, you know, actually having a keyboard and a monitor connected to it. I certainly have been down this road, come up with some ways of doing it. I think Ken's ways are more detailed, and it's certainly the amount of information in this show is spectacular. You can learn a lot about how these sorts of things work, the network works. Very cool. I thought it was an excellent piece of work. Some magnificent notes. It talks about using Nmap as one solution, and also mentions ARPScan. Oh yes, I made a comment on this one. Very useful, thanks, I said. Thanks for this. I've struggled to find devices on my network in the past and eventually resorted to using Nmap, which I used to use at work years ago. I used to be in charge of networking at one point, but then somebody more able took over for me. That wasn't part of my comment, that was just an aside. I was not aware of ARPScan and I've just installed it. It's very much more helpful when searching for that new Pi just added to the network. I'd not noticed before that Raspberry Pi Foundation had become Raspberry Pi Trading Limited, apparently with the arrival of the Pi 4, and that the MAC address base had changed then too. So, yeah, Ken didn't point that out particularly, but I noticed it in his listings and also in mine when I tried ARPScan. Very good. Excellent show. Next we had The Audio Book Club, number 17, and this was looking at reviewing the book Blood Witness by David Hitt. And it's really nice to see the return of this show. And I have to say, it was lovely to hear 5150 again on this this episode. Really do miss not having him around anymore. They had some interesting things to say, but it doesn't sound like the sort of book I would be rushing to read or listen to. But, you know, each to his own. They weren't fantastically supportive. They weren't taken with it too much, shall we say. But still, as I say, each to his own. There was one comment from Lost in Bronx. Welcome back to the Audiobook Club. Really great to hear you guys once again. The HPR Audiobook Club has been missed. Free culture audiobook reviews live, he says. So that's good. It has been a long time. I don't know how long it's been since we last heard one of these, but it seems like a very, very long time. It's good to hear it. I'd love to know when this was recorded, actually. did they say? I didn't notice. Next was a hookah with a show entitled Coronavirus Thoughts, where we are with this pandemic and how should we respond. And the show notes, I think Ahuka did his usual thing of putting in lots and lots and lots and lots of links and pointing at his notes on his own website. Ken picked up those notes and attached them to the show, which I know Ahuka is very happy with. And it was really good to be able to read them along with his audio. I enjoyed that. Had a number of comments. First one was from Brian in Ohio. Politics, he says. It's a shame that Ahuka takes a decent look at the pandemic and has to drag his form of left-wing politics into it. Ad hominem attacks make you feel good, but don't add to the strength of your argument. As far as chloroquine and its possible usefulness in helping people recover from this disease, here is a link to a National Institute of Health article about this drug. And he gives a link, dated 2005. This drug may be useful, but people's politics are getting in the way of seeing that. Who's rational? Lastly, it's easy for pensioners to stay at home, to say stay at home indefinitely. Some of us need to go out and work. There are many jobs you can't do from the comfort of your home in your pyjamas. Poverty is a bigger killer than any pandemic. The chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine issue, I think is brought up in a moment. But hydroxychloroquine is used in other contexts. Is that the one that's used for people with lupus? Can't remember. Telford Tendis gives comment, freedom governs at governance and pandemic. I prefer free software because I like freedom to do things I want to do and live the life I want to live. Here's an excellent podcast discussion of these rather difficult questions, and he makes reference to something from alexepstein.com. You can download and listen without copy protection, and there are no advertisements. However, be aware that the above podcast is not under CC license, but linking should be fine. They take a somewhat hyper-rational approach to the issues. Some people might prefer an emotional perspective, but even if you disagree with their conclusions, at least consider the way they methodically work through the key points. Economics is about deciding the allocation of precious, scarce resources, and inevitably, this must involve a trade-off, very similar to engineering. What is happening right now is that the lives and livelihoods of young people are being sliced away for the benefit of the older demographic. Despite this ethical dilemma, very few of the commentators are willing to even give the slightest recognition of those being sacrificed. Only those people who start with the understanding that a trade-off is involved are genuinely engaging with the problem. Brian in Ohio comments again, clarification, chloroquine is different from hydroxychloroquine. My mistake. There are medicines that can help people's own immune system get through this and many other diseases. Waiting for a vaccine is untenable for us all, and we will all end up in the economic toilet. Herd immunity is what we need. Let's get going. Unless you're at risk, hang back 6 feet or 2 meters and let the risk takers get out there and pick up the pieces. The Hooker says, herd immunity. Herd immunity is wonderful, and it's why vaccination is so important. When we have a vaccine, and the most common estimate I've seen is 18 months or on that one, when we ramp up production and get it out to over 300 million Americans, we'll be in a much better place. Next is Ahuka talking about a show about advice to new Fediverse administrators and developers. And he's talking about, it's a talk from the 2019 ActivityPub conference. And he's talking about PeerTube, which is an alternative for YouTube, and Mobilizon, strange name, an alternative for Facebook events. I don't know what Facebook events is. I've kept well clear of Facebook personally, but still, good. Next was an operator with a talk about Jitsi. I think he's talking about installing it on his own server, if I understood him right. I might have missed that bit, but anyway. Jitsi is a pretty good application as far as I can make it. I've just recently used it myself. Brenda and I were having a chat using it a week or so back, and we used Jitsi Meet. Jitsi Meeting, is it? I'm not sure what its name is, but it was just a case of multiple browsers connecting together, presumably from their free server. Operators talk about this is was interesting. You got 7 comments. First one was from Hooker. Very timely, he says. I was thinking about checking out Jitsi, so this was a welcome find in my feed. Thanks for doing this. Half Hat says, why talk about Jitsi? I was wondering if I'm expected to listen to a podcast if the first minute or so is the presenter explaining how they don't know much about what they are about to talk about. Seems the listener's time isn't being respected. Just Me says, I really enjoyed this episode, as Jitsi seems to be making the rounds, coming out on top of the open source alternative to Zoom. This was really interesting and made me want to play around with it. Thank you very much. Mike Ray comments, why talk about Jitsi? He's replying to the earlier comment. To the person moaning about having to listen to or being expected to listen to a podcast about Jitsi in which the host first says he doesn't know a lot about Jitsi, I think HPR might not be what you're looking for. And you need to learn where the delete or skip button is. In the few shows I've done for HPR, I've always been very conscious that there are inevitably people out there who know more than I do about what I'm talking about. Why don't you do a show about something and show us all just how smart you are? Hooker says, why listen? Why indeed should anyone listen to an episode of HPR? The only answer I have is because it's of interest to you. I think of HPR as a party with a bunch of friends, not as a college curriculum. I listen to the ones I want and listen the ones I want to listen to, skip the ones I don't. I'm not in the least bothered to think that there are people out there who don't want to listen to my shows. Mike Gray again. Re, why listen? These days I probably only listen to about 10% of episodes. I don't know why this is compared to the near 100% I listened to when I first found HPI. It's probably because I arrived at a peak right slap in the middle of the legendary Hooker LibreOffice series exactly when I needed a leg up doing spreadsheets. And also around that time, Klaatu and Dave were doing a lot more. But at no time have I complained about any episode. My mother used to tell us, if you can't say anything nice, keep your mouth shut. And nowadays I don't do any podcasts here because I become too conscious that there will be listeners who know more about what I'm talking about than I do. But comments like the one criticising Operator for starting his cast by saying he knows little about the subject is not exactly encouraging to others, is it? CRBS comments, why listen? Because by telling you that he doesn't know much about Jitsi, Operator has invited you or anyone else out there to do a follow-up show if you happen to know more. Huh? Fair comment. To Turtle does a show next, Formal Verification with COQ, C-O-Q. And this is an interactive theorem prover which comes with its own programming language, Galena. So he's talking about an example where you might want to write a function that calculates the blood type resulting from the crossing of gene alleles. And he talks about how you would do this. So you can say things like the allele types are type A, type B, type O. And then the blood types are A, B, A, B, and O. And then the mapping between them. Yeah, he points out that if the two alleles are type O, then you get type O, which is why it's the rarest blood type. So you can state theorems about the code where you can say blood type O and blood type O gives you type O and thereby prove it. So this is complicated, but it's quite interesting. I found this quite fascinating. You can use this to emit Haskell code in which the data types of blood type allele and blood type are declared, and then code is generated to take blood type A and B and then produce the result of whatever variables A and B happen to contain. I'm not sure I've done that justice. But I find this quite fascinating. I don't really see any need to do this, but I found it's partly because this is a biological thing. And I was a biologist before I got into computers, as I'm sure I've said before. But it was most intriguing. I certainly found this to be a fascinating show. Day 3 of COVID-19 work from home stream was next. And the list of people who are on it are not in the notes. And the date is weird. 2020-03-02. That can't be right. Surely it was the 20th of March that this was on. Anyway, whatever. Should have spotted that at the town and asked Taj if that was right. But it was on it. I made a note of this because I was listening to it. Dave Lee, Caroline Lee, and Ken Fallon was on. Later, John Spriggs joined. Then they left and Honky Magoo and CRBS arrived. And Honky's connection is awful, I wrote here. And later, a visit from KGG, the Norwegian guy who's been on the community news from time to time because he hangs out on Mumble from time to time and sort of joins in spontaneously. And then we had Taj and then Kay Wisher joined, which was good. I wish there were more of those, actually. I wish there were more of these episodes. This was 1 hour, 41 minutes, and I enjoyed it. It's like the New Year stuff, New Year shows, as Taj intended. But, yeah, I do rather enjoy this type of show. I assume other people do, too. So next, quick introduction to Snapcast from our new host, Dan Nixon. So when I saw this, I was thinking Snap. I read it as Snapcraft, which is all about snaps and things. Snapcast is something I've never heard of before, but it's a sound, an audio thing that gives you a Sonos-like capability that can play in multiple locations. So your music can be playing wherever you wander about in your house. That was as much as I got from it, but it sounded like something well worth digging into in a bit more detail. Could have done with a lot more information. That was 4 minutes long, 4 or 5 minutes long. I would have been happy to have a bit more, to be honest, but still, it was a great first show. Thank you very much for that, Dan Nixon. Windigo comments, thanks for the introduction. This sounds like a very useful... This sounds like very useful software. Thanks for the introductory episode. So looking forward to more from Dan Nixon. Next, we had Ken doing another quite detailed show about setting up a local IMAP server. And Ken has got his mail, all of his mail apparently, copied to a MailDir structure, and he's running a courier IMAP daemon which accesses this so that he can then point mail clients at it and go and poke around with his mail. And I'm judging from what he says that he's grabbing mail off various systems and copying into this MailDir structure manually. Not quite clear about how he does that. I was hoping he's going to be on and I could quiz him more about it, but I'm probably glad he's not. Anyway, I found this most interesting. It's something I'd really like to set up myself because it basically means all of your mail is in one place and can be scanned, as he says, with find and sed and awk and grep and so forth to find stuff. I have done this in the past, or something similar to it, having mail coming into one point and then being accessible from that point. But I didn't do it like this. So this is quite nice, actually. Something I'd quite like to build upon. I have got a lot of mailboxes, and I use one MUA, one message, one mail user agent to access it all using IMAP and POP and stuff. And it would be very cool if, instead of it keeping it all in its own, this is Thunderbird, in its own weird format, that I could put it all somewhere where it could be accessed, again using Thunderbird, but using a demon pointing out the Melder thing, because Melder is cool. I don't know. Anyway, shouldn't witter on. I've got things to get done. Next, we had a show from Operator where he is interviewing his friend Mike Ivy. They're talking about limiting children's access to dangerous or disturbing things on the internet and implementing this type of thing at home. Very interesting. I enjoyed this discussion. Mike Ivy sounds like a most interesting person. I'd like to hear more of what he has to say. Next was Clacke doing a show. We haven't heard from Clacke much in recent times. And he was talking about Vassal, which is a thing for playing board games while remote. Vassal Engine is the tool which lets you get access to various games which are compatible with it, presumably. And they played Carcassonne. And this was Clacke, a friend, and a stranger who happened to join in with them. And sounds like it was quite a successful game that they played together. Quite interesting. I didn't know that such things existed, but there you go. Then there was this geezer. Then there was me doing a show entitled Pens, Pencil, Paper and Ink, number one, because I had a lot to say and I wanted to just split it up into multiple shows so I didn't bore people for too long. How long was this? This was about 15 minutes long. Thing is, I'm really quite enthusiastic about things related to pens and paper and pencils and stationery stuff, and I always have been ever since I was a kid. I think I got it from my father. I think I said this before, who was also very much into this thing. He was very easy to buy presents for, because you just bought him something cool in the stationery line, and he was very happy. He was also quite keen on writing and drawing and doodling and that type of thing. My son's also like this. He enjoys writing. My daughter writes really nicely, and she's also likes to draw, so she's got a lot of drawing type pens and pencils and an iPad with a stylus and all that sort of good stuff. So the reason I'm doing this is because I know there are other people out there who have similar enthusiasms. I just wondered if there were many more in the HPR community, so I thought I would do a few shows about some of the pens that I have acquired since 2016 when I last did one of these. So judging by the comments, no, the answer's no, but who knows? Feedback is a strange thing. Next was Archer72 doing an intriguing show about how he got started in electronics and has done jobs in that area. He put some pictures in, which are always intriguing. I love shows with pictures. And he talks about some of the jobs that he's had in this sort of general area. But he was into model electric trains and all this sort of thing. Quite cool, actually. Yeah. Nice subject for a show. So, that's it. That's all of the shows. There are a few comments that relate to earlier episodes. So I'm going to look at those now. There are actually four, but we covered one of those last month because it came in just before the show. So I'm not going to cover that one. We have actually three comments from Clacke. First one was on Claudio Miranda's episode on PiCore, on Raspberry Pi 1 Model B. And Clacke says, Tiny Core maintainer name. I've never used Tinycore Linux, but years of listening to Linux Outlaws probably have still taught me the name of its maintainer by heart, because it's the most Bond villain maintainer name ever. And you have to adopt a Sean Connery voice to do this. Shingledecker. Yes. I remember that. I do remember the Linux Outlaws. It did some great stuff. Miss them. Next comment is on the same show from Clacker. He says, ridiculously tiny, really. On a more relevant note, I love these minimalist approaches. Friend swears by Porteus, but that's still 300 megabytes. Tiny by most standards, but wouldn't fit on your card. I think it's worth mentioning that while you said it left a few megabytes on your card, the core of Core, the capital C, is a mere 11 megabytes. He tried for the longest time to keep it below 10 megabytes, but had to break the barrier about 10 years ago. Still, the only distro that fits in an email. Smiley face. That's a thought. Hadn't heard of NanoBSD before. Thanks for bringing it up. Clacky also comments on show 3034 from Taj Sara, how to bridge Freenode IRC around to matrix.org. And he says, app service IRC. Oh, cool. When I was using Matrix plus IRC before, unauthenticated Freenode was still okay. But now I know what to do if I start using Matrix again. I've been using XMPP and Bibumi, but didn't host my own, and the hosted ones have not been reliable. I miss IRC, so I may come back to Matrix soon. So that's all the comments. There's nothing to be said about, nothing been said on the mailing list apart from my message that said we're having a recording this show now. Oh no, not now, but 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but that didn't work because Ken didn't make it. And so there's nothing else there. The events calendar, not much point in looking at that because it's all cancellations or online events. I'd like to know more about how people are managing online conferences and how well they work, but there's not much I can add to that just at the moment. Final thing is the any other business tags and summaries. We've had 17 shows updated in the past month, and the major contributor was Windigo, who contributed 15, updated 15 shows. I did 2. So thank you, Windigo, for your sterling efforts there. I'll try and do better next time. So that's pretty much it. There's nothing else that we need to talk about this week. Hope Ken is okay, and we hear from him soon. I'm going to sign off now, and I'm not going to sing, and you know that you're listening to Hacker Public Radio, and there's only me to tell you, so no point in doing that. So whatever. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope it wasn't too tedious. Just this one geezer wittering on. But thanks for listening if you did. Okay then. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.